Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I feel like we got to talk about bodybuilding a little bit.
Yeah, baby, let's go.
Are you excited to talk about bodybuilding?
Yes, I am. I'm in my bodybuilding phase in my life.
Oh, that's right. You are.
Yeah, because I don't have no job, so all I can do is go to the gym. So, like, that's the only constant in my life. Mm-hmm.
And you did one of those competitions, didn't you?
Oh, yeah,
those,
man. I've done the
competitions or whatever.
Yeah, I did the Spartan, okay? Spartan. I did the Spartan. And you know what's great about it is that... It's funny because a lot of bodybuilders actually don't do it because technically for the Spartan, you have to like run and climb and whatever, whatever. Right. But I will say it is pretty fascinating to learn what your body can do. And like, you know, you eating certain things can do this. You sleeping a certain amount will do that. Like I have become very fascinated by the science of the body, if that makes sense. Like people with no butt can technically get a butt. Without like a BBL, like that's crazy, like legitimately crazy. I've seen people come to the gym with no butt, and like a year and a half later, they got a butt. They got cakes, and I'm like, look at this. They strong cakes, but they cakes.
The glutinous maximus.
Yeah, man, the cakes are
they're strong.
Cakes strong.
And what are you specifically trying to do in the gym?
Ray, I am bored, but I'll be truly honest. I will say I've had, and I think we all have, I've had a lot of friends who are like superheroes or superhero adjacent. And even
I'm
though
sorry,
I'm not,
what?
That play, he means that play who?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, they like, but I get
he's also
they're
very
not actually
good friends
out there
with
fighting
Spider-Man.
So like, so basically, my thing is I feel like very jealous because they get like trainers to like teach them how to do it and food. So my thing is, I'm gonna be ready, you know, just so y'all know that I can do the superhero shit too, even though I'm not getting paid for anything. But I'm a, you know.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they'd be out here shirtless no reason. You know?
Well, the reason is look at my chest. Look at my everything above the waist.
Gotta get those Instagram followers.
It's perfectly fine reason.
See, that's the hard part. When you are a person who's really big in fitness, a lot of them I feel like are really good at taking, you know, like fitness photos or like buying clothes, the offset muscles.
This is the
and
difference
stuff.
Between like strongman competitions and like bodybuilding, right? Because like the bodybuilding competitions, it is specifically for the look, like to look at the muscles as opposed to necessarily function. Not that they have no function, but it's not.
But they're
actually,
not like running and jumping and nothing like that. I mean, to me, it's like I would go for the function because like I feel like when you get that, my fear is having a lot of muscle mass that turns into fat. Like that is a fear of mine. Cause I think when you get older, you can't help what your body does.
Right.
But when you look at like, you know, some of these older actors who are more like skinny fit, I feel like it just ages better over time. I think, I mean, that's just,
But is that the thing as someone who doesn't do anything, is that I've always thought of that as like a thing of that where it's like, If your body's going to do what it's going to do, you know, because it does, it has a mind of its own. But then also like if there's maintenance, if you maintain the maintenance, then you can potentially prevent the like, this is all fat now.
That's true. You can. But even if you look at like to me, one of the most in shape older men is probably Sylvester Stallone. And like he is in really good shape. But at the end of the day, he's a 70 or not. I'm not sure how old, but like.
Sure.
He is an older man, and it looks...
Is he taking growth hormones, or...
Yo, so this is the scary part, you know? Is that, like, actors don't get tested, so...
Yeah, I mean, why? You don't need to be tested. You're not in a competition.
But the thing is, we don't... Like, there was this article that came out, I want to say a few years ago, and it was about how a lot of our male action stars are, like, over 40. So it was, like, the Hugh Jackmans, it was, like, Robert Downey was in that. And it was like people are doing things to their body.
Sure.
but we don't know what the effects are going to be yet, right? Because no offense, but they're not, you know, they aren't older yet.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're doing things that normally if you were in a sport, you would be kicked out of the sport for, you right. know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, even when you look
it
at
it, doesn't
like,
have negative effects on their health or their,
well, not yet, maybe. I mean, right. who, but then everybody, it's so hard to figure out what people do.
You know, also as somebody who's never, who's also just doesn't pay attention to this, I always thought that the reason it was outlawed in sports was only because it like gives you an unfair advantage, but I didn't think about the like the health implications.
All I care about
well.
Is
it's
the
like
health.
It's like you shouldn't do this because it could kill you, you know. Yeah,
because right. you could take down like your sperm count, like your yeah. you know, you can get erectile dysfunction. I mean, think about like
yeah. you take I it know too he long says, all of a sudden yeah
I know he said he doesn't do it and I'm not saying he does
The Rock.
Yes yes like you look at like if you look at like somebody yo The yeah. Rock. You, I'm pretty sure if you're a wrestling fan, we all remember when The Rock went through like his like kind of chubby phase. Then he had that phase where he only wore t-shirts when he worked out. He sure. is gigantic compared to what yeah. he used to be in
Veins
his 30s.
Are popping out. Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, this is crazy. Even if you look at like Michael B. I mean, not Michael B. Jonathan Majors in freaking Creed.
Yeah, I was going to say Hugh Jackman, I also think.
Yeah, I mean, Hugh Jackman is, yeah.
Yeah.
But like John Majors and like Creed was so massive.
He is. Yeah, so he massive. Certainly is.
I truly look at these people sometimes and I wonder if their love lies bleeding.
Hmm. Interesting.
Just because they're taking so many, you know, steroids that I don't know what's doing to their body. So I don't know.
Maybe, right.
You know, who knows what it's.
When we
maybe
have a
something
guest,
internally is happening, right? And their love lies bleeding.
Are their love
when
lies
we have a guest,
bleeding?
Do you feel yeah. embarrassment ever? That's all I wonder. Yeah. Like when we have a guest, do you ever feel like, maybe I shouldn't
what?
Do this.
What are you talking about?
Like, do you, so you never feel any type of like, oh no, I'm saying this corny
oh,
transition.
Oh, I see what you think. I'm not trying to do anything. I was actually curious about, you know, their,
no,
about,
you don't have
about,
to say it again.
About
you don't
their
have to,
love lies bleeding.
Oh, thank you, James.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. You know, you think it happens? Their love lies bleeding?
I just want you to know that this is not an example of who I am, okay? Because I don't want you to come in here thinking that this is like, I try to stop this every okay. every week.
Oh. Well, I mean, I do think oh we should probably start the show now because that was a pretty good transition. Let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan. What more can I say? You know what it is. Black men can jump.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
My family is so fucked up. I like that
one. Let me say what's so funny about that is, James, that could be from this movie or The Bear. And for a second, I got confused.
Yeah, it could be from any. It could be from anything. It was a very generic line, but the way that it, the but how it's used in this is very funny.
Yeah. Well, for those listening to us for the first time, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We live in, you know, tumultuous times. And sometimes you just need to get away with a movie about violence and steroid use. And that's why we're here today. We, maybe you don't know. This is a podcast. We review the films of typically leading Black actors.
Yeah, that's right.
We talk about the context of race and diversity.
Tell them, Bray.
This film, the film we're reviewing today, Love Lies Bleeding, happens to star a mixed race person, Katie O'Brien.
Woo, don't it?
Yeah. It also stars Kristen Stewart.
She white, though.
Yeah. But before we get into all of that, you got to know, one, who we are. This person speaking to you now has very little muscle mass. His name is Jonathan Braylock.
The thing is, I was hoping you were going to say something about muscle, and I was going to be like, yeah, this way sounds like someone who was like injecting like crazy. Oh my God. This voice is at a Drop Milligan.
And this voice is James the Third.
Okay. And we have a very special guest
Whoa,
with
what
us
you doing,
today
what
on the
doing?
Podcast.
Bray. Mm-hmm. We got to get warmed up. Let me drink my tea real quick. Hold on.
What are you drinking tea for?
So I can get the drums ready.
Okay, but that you're adding a level of hype to the sound effect that
that's fantastic.
Deserved.
Okay.
Okay.
You want to count down 1, 2, 3 or 3, 2, 1? Yeah, you want me to start first and then you gonna start?
I need a countdown. Sir,
or do you want
to
start?
Countdown
and then I start?
To the drum. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Rashay Jeffrey, everyone, please.
Woo!
Round of applause.
You know? You got a sneer. You got a sneer drum in there. Everybody don't get the sneer drum. Everybody don't get the sneer drum. You know what I mean?
Sneer drum.
Yeah. So excited to be here. And that beautiful introduction. It was so high tech. So beautiful.
Incredible. Listen, Rashay. Rashay is a very funny, prolific writer, also stand-up comedian. We wrote together on Grownish. She's written for shows like Woke and Smilf. Very talented. Thank you so much for being here. And we're gonna talk about Love Lies Bleeding. What a film. What a film.
I can't tell what that energy is, but I'm so ready to unpack it.
Listen, this is an A24 film, if you couldn't tell. It's right now available on HBO Max. If you haven't seen it, it is about a gym manager by the name of Lou, who is a woman, falls in love with Jackie, who is a bodybuilder passing through the town en route to a competition in Las Vegas. And I almost said hijinks ensue. That's not exactly right.
I mean, hijinks do ensue, bro.
Hijinks.
It's hijinks.
Katie O'Brien, Kristen Stewart, Dave Franco, and Ed Harris, top line. This Dave Franco, man, what an interesting guy.
Come on, bro. Come on, Dave.
This film grossed $12 million in theaters. It was small.
What was the budget? I can't find it.
You know, they always hide these budgets now. They're very so. Yeah, don't know what the budget was. But $12 million was the gross. But I feel like HBO Max was pushing it. Like when it came on, it was on there.
Yeah.
The movie has a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes and 82% audience score.
This movie got 94%?
This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck, then access up to $100 a day as you leave work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Now, I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes we do not live a life that is week to week or 2 weeks to 2 weeks, okay? You know that money's coming in, but you need the money right now. Maybe it's a last minute gift that you forgot. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, my dad's birthday's coming up. I didn't get him a gift yet. I need that money in my pocket, please. Sometimes a bill sneaks up on you. Hey, it's been hot, okay? Maybe that AC bill is higher than you expected. You need that money to come in? Download Earnin today, spelled EARNIN, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in JUMP under podcast when you sign up. It's really helped the show. JUMP, J-U-M-P, under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. This podcast is sponsored by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. It's an easy and exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. And all you have to do is play against the numbers. You pick more, you pick less from 2 to 6 player stat projections, and watch the winnings roll in. Okay? You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Do you know how hard that is to do? Prize Picks makes it easy, okay? They put their members first. So all withdrawals are fast, they're safe, they're secure. When my picks hit, I can get my money in as quick as 15 minutes. I start to use Prize Picks, okay? And I've been watching the WNBA. I like to root for Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. And I've been just been like, you know what I mean? Just go bullish on them. Get those winnings, all right? All you have to do is pick somebody like Caitlin Clark. Is she going to score more than 19 points? Absolutely. Put it in. Lock that in. All right. Is Angel Reese going to get more than 12 rebounds? You better believe it. Lock that in. Listen, it's so easy. You just look at it. You go to the sport that you want. You go to the players that you want. You click in it. You lock in your picks. Could not be easier. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code Hollywood and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code Hollywood on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game.
So we are going to do initial thoughts. So, Roche, would you like to kick us off as the guest? Your initial thoughts of Love Lies Bleeding.
You know, there was a lot of hype about this film, really solid reviews. And I think it mostly lived up to it. I actually thought it was kind of, it was intriguing. I didn't know where we were going to go when we started. Yeah. It started off with some beautiful shots of muscles and exercise. And it inspired me. I almost wanted to go to a CrossFit gym after the intro. And then we got into some interesting character introductions. And I was in. Like, I love Kristen Stewart. I've never seen the other actor, Katie O'Brien.
Yeah.
She's
in The Mandalorian, I guess.
And she's in Ant-Man.
Yes, but she is swole. I immediately had to look her up because I was like, there's no way she trained just for this role. This has to be how she is in nature. This is just who she is. And she is she's built. And so yeah, I got into the story. I thought it was beautifully shot. The acting, the performances were great. There were some twists and there's some turns, right? It felt very familiar, but also kind of different. And it took some swings. And most of them landed. I was into it. I was entertained.
All right. Yeah. Who wants to go next?
I mean, I'll go. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm happy to hear that. I don't know how I felt. I was watching this movie like, you know what it is? Sometimes I think A24 has such a style and a thing that I'm like, y'all just don't make normal movies. Like, it's got to be something weird that happens in the movie. And I couldn't tell if I was okay with the Hulk out stuff or like the jacket. I just, you know what it was? This is my thing. I couldn't tell if I wasn't smart enough to understand the movie. And I became self-conscious because I was like, I don't think I'm enjoying this movie, but I also think this movie is saying something that maybe I just am not like computing properly. So I can't say I don't like it. I just am like, I don't know. Like, I feel like indifferent to
you
it.
You felt like right you now. Didn't understand it.
Yeah. And I'm like, I just feel like, I'm very excited to hear people talk about it. Cause I just think, I just don't know how I feel right now, but it did look good though.
Yeah,
that's true. All their movies look so good. It's just crazy.
I think I definitely enjoyed this film. I don't know if it was that deep. I mean, I feel like it was like an interesting story about these two people. It was in the 80s, right? Like, this was set in the 80s. So I like both of these actresses. I think I've seen the season of Mandalorian that Katie is on. I don't quite remember Katie in Ant-Man, but
she's like a weird alien hero. She's the one who like doesn't like them at first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. But
good in that.
Yeah. She has like, she's on a rising star. She's also apparently in the new Twisters, which I haven't seen yet, but I'm excited to see. So yeah. And I don't know. I think she's very pretty. This was a great role. Like, this was a great character. And Ed Harris was really creepy. And the movie definitely had some twists and turns like that I wasn't expecting. It is one of those movies that does feel a little bit hard to watch. Like, it's always hard to watch somebody. Like, it feels like a person is like ruining their life, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that was tough. It felt a little bit like, I'm blanking on the name. What's that movie with Jennifer Connelly and Marlon Wayans and
Oh my God. Requiem for a Dream?
Yeah, Requiem for a Dream. There was like a little bit of that feeling for me, you know, where you're just like, oh yeah,
just tense. Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but and I thought like the kind of fantastical elements, like they just came, like it was like sparing, like it didn't like overwhelm the movie to me. So I kind of like that. Yeah, it was interesting. I thought it was going to be a little bit harder I thought like the romantic element of it was going to be infused in it more, and it kind of more felt like it was like, I guess it was, but it was just, it felt crazy. It went off the rails pretty quickly, and they like didn't know each other for that long, you know? So there was a part of it that, I was maybe a little interested in that, and that wasn't quite there, but I'm definitely intrigued to talk about it more, because we're in 2024, but there still aren't that many lesbian stories being told, you know? So I feel like it's always interesting to see the ones that get made and get the hype, you know? And there are sometimes for me feel like the male gaze is sometimes attached to things. And I was wondering about that with this movie, but yeah, anyway, I did like it though. James?
Yeah, I liked it. I am one of the, but besides everyone just being like, this is so great, one of the things that I saw before seeing it back when it was out was like, you'll never guess the ending. And so this had this thing of just like me being like,
that's weird.
All right, well, what's the end going to be? You know, like, what's
it wasn't like a mystery.
Yeah,
right. No, but it was like, it's just sort of like things just keep changing, like the sort of and then the monster reveal, I guess, is the part that they're like, you're never gonna know. This part will be crazy. But they hint at it enough that it was like, I was like, oh, all right, you know, like it didn't feel, I think because I was like waiting for it to be like crazy, it was like, oh man, that's not as crazy as this could have been crazier, you know? So I think like,
it wasn't quite Sorry to Bother You ending.
Right.
Can I tell you what I thought was going to happen, James?
What did you think?
What I thought was going to happen when she was crazy, because like when she becomes, spoiler alert, when she becomes gigantic and then she sits down and he's like, and she doesn't rip him apart, I thought she was going to like rip his head off with her vagina or something. I thought she was like, because the position.
It did feel like she was going to do something.
I just thought my mind didn't go there.
That would have been better. Honestly.
I think she should have, if she would have just, because the shot was like a massive, she put him between her legs. He's just on the ground. I was like, okay, well, she about to eat the vagina, going to eat him. Okay. All right. That's a way to go out. But okay, that's all I want to say, James.
I liked it. We can get into it more specifically. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I loved all of the before we actually see her transform into a giant giantess, I guess. All of the shots of the muscles like almost hulking out. I loved all of that. Like every push into that was. I was just like, this is so. I love this. So I'm excited to talk about it more.
Yeah. So let's get into this. It definitely has a lot of shots of like muscles and stuff. I forgot exactly what was the opening shot? Was it showing bodybuilding?
It's the gym. Yeah, they're working out the gym.
Yeah. People working out at the gym.
Yo, she was shredded. In all honesty, I was looking at
she was
just absolutely shredded. I was like, this is crazy. Cause the movie opens with Kristen Stewart, right? Like it's the gym.
At the gym.
Mm-hmm. Right. Also, okay, this is the one thing that this is when I was like, this is an A24 movie. Is that when we finally get to her reveal is that she's in the bathroom fixing the clogged toilet. And the whole time. Because we're seeing her from the back, and I'm like, man, I bet you she ain't got no gloves on. Like, my mind was like, I bet you she ain't got no gloves on. And then when she comes, like, when she's, like, talking to the woman, she comes out, she has no gloves on, and she just, like, wipes her hand. Then they do the shot of all the disgustingness in the toilet, and I'm like, so you just telling me she stuck her whole bare-ass hand in, and, like, nobody's freaking out? Like, the woman she was talking to didn't freak out? That's what I was like. This is eight twenty-four.
What was in these toilets, by the way?
They're gonna show you a toilet. You're gonna see an aerial view of a toilet with stuff in it.
With stuff in it.
And like everybody's kind of sweaty, and like no one really cares. You know, like that's A24. I mean, they're more than that, but that they're definitely gonna incorporate that into every film that they do.
It's gonna be beautifully lit, and it's gonna be like, yeah, this is about to be a beautifully perfect lit shot of this.
Color grade and color correction, all of it is going to be just a perfect blend. Mm-hmm. And an aerial shot of a toilet. You know what
yep.
I mean?
Yep. I was like, oh my God, we're in it. We're in it, baby.
Yeah. Wait. Okay. this has nothing to do with the movie. 80s hair is so wild to me. Every time I see.
Oh, the fluff? The fluff, baby?
All of it. Just all aspects of 80s hair, men and women.
How I'm popular always like, mullets
what's
were.
Going
were
on?
Were they more popular?
Yeah, it was hideous. Yeah.
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 100%.
Low key, some of the 80s style is coming back for sure. Like, I mean, I think like the crop tops and stuff right now, I've seen a couple women wear the, shoulder pad, like oversized shoulder pad blazers. Not the hair. I haven't seen the hair, but.
It's coming. The hair's coming back. I think that the 80s vibe though is so, it's so weird because it's mostly bad.
Yeah.
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 And whenever you see things that are that awful, you think to yourself, like, I know we have the benefit of perspective and reflection, but you didn't look at that and go, no, like you didn't see yourself in the mirror and go, this is, I look crazy.
You look crazy.
I don't understand it. Like if you look at the 70s, I'm like, okay, yeah. the 60s, I can get with it. But the 80s, it went off the rails.
Exactly, because it was like the 70s was like, we're going to all have hair. We're going to have big hair. Like black people were like, we're doing froze. White people were like, we're all growing our hair long. We're going to have like shoulder length, longer hair. Like, I get that. And then the 80s, they were like, we're going to still have that much hair, but we're going to jack it up. Well, we're going to do mullets. We're going to do Jerry curls, like both black and white. I was just like, what are we doing?
Can I give you my theory on this?
Go.
My theory is the two worst eras for fashion are the 80s and the early 2000s. And here's why. Because I feel like black people weren't at the forefront of fashion in the 80s and early 2000s. Because the early 2000s, we had those like really crazy skater pants and then Von Dutch. And what was that? Ed Hardy, which was bedazzled skulls, which makes no motherfucking sense. Okay.
But that was also the era of like baggy everything, so, right?
But that came from the skater. That was like a skater adjustment that was like even bigger than the hip hop from the 90s. You know what I mean? I feel like when we was running the fashion, we'd be swaggy. You know what I mean? But 80s and 2000s.
I have an alternate. This is my theory is this. I think the 80s, that was what they thought the future was going to look like, right? Like, I think they were dressing. It was like a futuristic vibe.
That's better.
It was like an 80s, like, version of what they thought was going to happen.
Right.
And they were wrong.
They were wrong. Yeah. It's true, because any movie in the 80s that's like set in the future and they show what they think like clothing is going to be, you're just like,
like what? Yeah. Aluminum foil. It's like, why do you look crazy?
Yeah. Aluminum foil.
Yeah, oh, it's my very gosh. Strange.
Anyway, but yeah. Kristen's hair in this. But that's, I feel like Kristen Stewart's kind of rocking that style, or at least.
Listen, I'm not gonna lie to you. I have had a crush on Kristen Stewart for years. I feel like people be sleeping on Kristen Stewart. I feel like it's something about her where I feel like Kristen Stewart gonna give you like a cigarette, like a high five. And if you're like, yo, let's go rob this bank, she's gonna be like, cool, what time? She's got that energy. And I'm like, I like that. I just like that. She's just about.
Is it true that people sleep on Kristen Stewart, or does Kristen Stewart have that vibe that like, you don't want to piss Kristen Stewart off. You know what I mean?
That's
like, so like, so like, so, so that there's not like the hoopla. It's not hoopla in the same way, because Kristen's like not buying into, wouldn't buy into that hoopla. Does that make sense?
I think I love her because there's a fear in my heart that she could turn on me and hurt me. And I'm like, you know what? I think I have a toxicity in my heart that feels like I need the danger at all times. It's not a good trait. No. It's like, I would need a panic room, you know what I mean, in the house. but from Kristen Stewart. You know what I mean? And I feel like I love
that. That is fascinating. That's fascinating stuff. And are you in therapy? Or
I am. I talk about it all the time. I knew I had a problem.
Oh my goodness.
I knew it was a problem. I was talking to Braylock and my friend Cameras, like when the movie Beef came out, and I was like, man, I don't know what it is, but Ali Wong is so hot in this movie to me. She's so crazy. And no one backed me up. Like no one was on my side.
Wait, she's so hot.
Exactly, James. Exactly. To specify, it's not that we don't think Ali Wong is hot. It was that he thought she was hot because of her personality within Beef, within the show Beef. Which is wild.
Like I noticed everyone got quiet and I was like, I feel like this group isn't as supportive as I need them to be. And I was like, oh, this might be me. This might be me.
I feel like you should do some journaling about your mom. I think you need to go home and journal about your mom. There's something going on.
My mom is so nice. Maybe that's what it is. She was too nice. We need anger. Where's the aggression? Sorry, Bray. You're talking about my fault. My fault.
So, the first time we're introduced to Katie O'Brien and this character, Jackie. First time we're introduced to Jackie, she's like having sex in the back of Dave Franco's car.
Like, I don't even know what kind of car that is. I'm like, what is this, bro?
It's a Pinto. They said.
Felt like she.
Pinto?
It felt like she wasn't enjoying it. And then right after, she's like, so are you going to like help me get that job, basically?
And low key, he did though.
Which is like, yeah, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, she got the job.
That's how you do it in L.A. That's how, you know, listen, I know to do it.
Listen, I'm about to say, y'all playing games. Y'all will see me.
I mean, I've heard.
Y'all will see me in a movie one day and be like, yo, how'd you rock getting a movie in his late 30s?
In the next scene, in the scene with Beth and the family, the kids were going, mom, he's cheating, as we were seeing Dave give her a kiss and leave. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's a fun little
great.
Like that they're talking about that while it.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. But then, I mean, what they're just setting the character of like, Jackie is someone who's willing to do whatever to get, you know, to get by. She's clearly run away from home. She's like sleeping outside under, you know, like a overpass. And then Kristen Stewart's like in this place that you could tell, like, she hates being there. She doesn't really want to be where she is. But then we realize later why she's there. Her sister lives there and she's trying to protect her. And I mean, also, that's her excuse, actually. So.
And her sister has like a bust lip at this point, too. Like, if you see her lip, her sister's already like, I think I have never been around this kind of relationship, but I have had two friends who've been through abuse.
Oof, yeah.
And, I know people had to step in, but I do know when people stepped in, there was some type of like awakening or understanding about what their situation was. And so to see this movie and to see this sister casually, when we really haven't really hinted at it yet, with physical bruises on her face, to constantly defend this guy this whole movie, I was like, oh my goodness, this is, I almost wish I knew more about her than anybody else. Because I'm like, how, like, I almost wanted her to join in with them or just like get some type of, but I guess it's not the world, you know?
I mean, we can infer that their father probably hit them. Like, for sure. I mean, their father's obviously a horrible person who was willing to literally kill his daughter. And so it's not like, it's like there is a level of, like just being trapped in that victim mindset where you're, and defending your abuser. I mean, it's sad. But I was going to talk about this meet cute. I mean, the meet cute is literally just her just staring at her at the gym.
Yo, that's it. That is it.
It was the meatiest of cutest. It was so tiny. It was so tiny. They got right into it and it got crazy.
Quickly.
Very fast.
I was because like, oh my God. Didn't even really go. Like, it was literally, it was the same night, right? Like, it was like she saw her. You know, she was like, well, that girl's hot. And then she was like talking to a guy and she was like, oh, maybe not. But then you know, work ends. She sees her in the parking lot. They're like chatting. She sees like, oh, maybe this, she is interested. Another guy comes out who's also huge. He's like, hey, aren't we going? Like, tries to grab Jackie's arm. Jackie punches him in the face. Like, the first thing.
The first thing she does. Doesn't even say nothing. Just, like, swings. Yes. I was like, okay.
And he hits her back.
Yeah, it sets up a lot. That's actually, I forgot about that scene. Yeah, she was crazy from the very beginning.
She was already crazy. That's the thing. That's the thing is, like, you have to remember that it wasn't, it's not just the steroids. Because it could have been, like, a story about, well, like, you did this to me. Like, you gave me these steroids that made me go crazy. And it was like, no, no, you had this in you already. And maybe it made it worse. I mean, it did make it worse. But, like, you already had this, like, you know, anger trigger, which... We never really hear about her backstory, but we know like she ran away. Like, she was adopted at the age of 13. She clearly ran away from home. When she calls back to whatever that place was, they're like, the
don't ever call.
Don't ever call back. She has a sister. Is that who
and
she was talking to?
They called her a monster, which was, because
she says, I kill people. She said at one point later, like,
she said, I killed people. And at that point, she had killed Dave and Daisy.
She had killed two people already.
I thought she met before she came.
Seemingly, like, now it seemed like she was saying, now that I have met you, this is what my life has become. I kill people.
Got you.
But then, I guess whoever was that she called,
I thought
she
already was a murderer.
Right. Right.
What did you think, Rochet?
Well, I she did some stuff because they were like, no, girl, you can't come here. You're crazy and you're a monster. That's immediately what they said on the phone. But I wonder if that's tied to her body, right?
Yeah.
Because for a woman to, in the 80s especially, to get that big and bulky, there's a reason why she would invest that much time and energy in getting swole like that. And so I wonder if it's tied to that trauma and that, and she was trying to, you know, protect herself or make herself less vulnerable.
Yeah. I mean, I think definitely she said something to that, like a little bit to that effect. She said she was a fat kid. And then she also was like, I learned how to defend myself. So like, it was clear she was getting picked. And we don't know if that was other people, home, maybe all of the above. I mean, clearly if she was bi and any of that, like the 80s, you know, we're still, I mean, we're still in 2024, but like even more so in the 80s, you know, not safe. And then it seems like she was from the South, right? Or where, I forgot.
Yeah, I think so. I couldn't tell, to be honest.
I couldn't, wait, where were they? Did we know?
Bro, I have no idea.
I think it's New Mexico or something like that. It's
because
like
she could drive to Vegas. Yeah, because she could drive to Vegas.
Yeah, it was somewhere in there, like an Southwest, Arizona, New Mexico situation.
Okay. Yeah, so it's interesting because I do feel like the 80s, like they had like bodybuilding started to get like a big craze because you have Arnold Schwarzenegger, he becomes famous. And like, and I know, and by the time, and then I think it, when did American Gladiator start? Was that the early 90s or late 80s, early 90s?
That might be late 80s.
Yeah. So like you have American Gladiator, it's like there's like that culture is there, but you think those people for the women, they're probably, I mean, it's a little bit safer maybe in LA, which is where she wanted to go, as opposed to the South. I mean, it's certainly not the South. So yeah. Anyway, so it was like, I thought the movie did a really good job of like, not necessarily like spoon feeding us like who these people were, but like definitely giving us like a lot of insight that you can infer a lot of things. And it makes, to me, it kind of, I was like, part of the reason maybe this romance went so hard and fast was because you don't feel like you have that many options. Like I would assume like they had that other woman there
who was psychotic.
Yeah. Who was also psychotic, who was like, Kristen Stewart was like tired of, is like, God, I don't want to, you know, touch this person. But maybe it was like, she was like, it felt like, oh, here's one of the only other lesbians in town, you know?
True. Mm-hmm. And she did ask her immediately, like, are you one of those straight women going through a phase or something like that before, like when they were in the gym and she kissed her and then was like, hey, hold on. Do you actually like women? And it was like important to her. And what's funny to me is that, that Jackie was low key a hobosexual. Yeah. I heard this term that people
like, wait, what?
So basically it's this thing that's going like,
it's a term.
Yeah. It's a term basically like people will have sex for a place to stay. So it's like, say you're hooking up with somebody, but like they don't have no place to stay. So like technically they hook up with, like, I've heard of these stories of like, you know, men and women who like go to a bar or whatever, go home with somebody, because basically if they go home with somebody, they have a place to stay that night. You know, it's a very sad, but you know, whatever. And she felt like a homosexual when Kristen Stewart was like, hey, so where are you staying at? But when figuring that out, I was hoping I could stay. Like, she immediately was like, I want to stay here.
Totally.
Like, quickly. I was like, this is crazy. Off night one, she wanted to be like, I'm staying here. Not even on the couch, but in the bed.
Can we talk about all the crazy stuff that happens? Like, it's seemingly in the first night that they meet each other. It's like, they like, it's like literally the first night they're like hanging out. Doesn't she introduce the steroids immediately?
Kristen Stewart does, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It was like immediately she was like, here are a bunch of steroids. And it's like, wait, what?
Yo.
I'll give them to you for free. They have sex. She stays over. And then the next day they're like, yeah, you could just stay with me. And it's just like, okay.
I feel like the term is U-hauling, right? But without the U-haul, they were like, yeah, we're married now, we just met.
Yeah.
I think there was things moved very quickly, but I actually believed it.
Yeah, I did too.
I could see it. I think there was like a sense of isolation they both had, and
agreed.
And I do think Kristen was really desperate for like genuine connection.
Yep,
so 100%. She was willing to overlook everything, like that lady punching that man in the face right away. Yep. She was completely blinded by a lot of. Actually, what's funny, too, is in the beginning, I thought Kristen Stewart's character was the one who was crazy.
Right.
I did, too. Yeah.
She was doing too much. And I was like, oh, she's crazy. And then the other one was like, no, I got you. Strap on your seatbelts. We're going for a ride. I was like, oh, my God. And even Kristen Stewart, who is also not the most stable person, was like, you are doing too much.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was kind of shocking.
Yeah. And they did these little flashes of like Ed Harris's character. And then like a man being shot. And like, we saw that. And, you know, I don't know about you guys. Initially, I thought it was like premonitions. Like I thought we were seeing flashes of like what was about to happen, and then later on it was like it was flashbacks, and it was Kristen Stewart's flashbacks, and I guess she also killed people for her dad. That's what I inferred from that.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go with that.
Yeah, I thought so. There was that one towards the end, it really seemed clear. There was one specific one that it seemed like, oh yeah, she just shot that.
I think she was holding a gun.
Yeah, she's holding a gun, and we see her shoot, and then you have no sense of like where anyone is in space. So
who these people are, what's exactly.
But then after the guy like falls back, we see Ed Harris like kind of like smiling. So it like seemed like it was like, great, you did this for me. That particular one. All the other ones, I didn't know what to make of them until that. Really.
Yeah. And like there's like moments where she's like, I don't work for my father, but it was like, I don't work for my father anymore. And like the FBI was like, you used to work for him. So it was like, I think it was like, oh, she used to do stuff for him and then like somehow got out of it. I guess because she's his daughter, but like is still in this town. I love how they just had this one other character who she was just like so in love with Kristen Stewart.
Oh yeah, which was weird because she was at the beginning, and then like when she appeared again, I was like, what's the deal with this girl? But also I kind of liked her. I mean, she was definitely obsessive. Oh god.
I thought the actor did a great job.
No. It's like, once I said I liked her, I was like, oh no, I like the crazy one. All right. I don't like her. Like, nah, man, I didn't like her. Not me. I ain't see no value in that crazy. Nah. I was testing y'all. That's all that was. You know what I mean? That's all that.
Yeah. That woman also looked like she lived on the show Ozarks, but like in the trailer park.
Yes. Her teeth were jacked up.
So the fact that you were like, that's it for me, is very interesting. You were like, sign me up.
I was like, you know, I could see past the physical. And I was like, oh man, under all this psychoticness, she just wants to be loved.
We also see her in that first scene with the over aerial shot of the toilet and her teeth plus the toilet. For me, that also cemented the A24-ness of it. I was like, this, because the teeth were so, really, I mean, did. people have teeth so of all varieties, up. But it was like, oh, they're making sure we see these teeth. Like, we got to see this woman's teeth. Yeah. It's caked on yellow. Like, the yellow's on the teeth. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it feels like her teeth are going to fall out any second.
I feel like somebody should do a spoof of A24 movies.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
as a movie,
yeah,
like a rival studio should do an A24, like how the Wayans family used to do scary movie franchise.
Yeah,
because I think A24 is fantastic. Please hire me. But also, they have some elements that you're like, oh yeah, this is very A24.
A24 would probably be the studio to do an A24 parody movie. They'd be like,
that's so true.
They should get self-aware. Ahead of it, for sure.
We don't take ourselves too serious.
100%.
Yo, A24, I just want to see a brightly neon colored A24 movie. I just want to see something that just looks like a goddamn commercial. No blue, no reds, you know what I mean? No color green. Just make that shit look like a Hallmark commercial. I'm curious. But this movie was so interesting because I think even when you get to, so what's the first thing? After they stay together, we get the montage of them working out and you see Jackie. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. You see Jackie doing the poses, like practicing her poses. Yeah. And the dad is creepy immediately, right? Is he creepy or just like?
No, absolutely. Immediately. No, he's immediately creepy. I was like,
Ed Harris looked like my worst nightmare for the whole movie. I was right? like, this man, this hairline, this long hair in the back, everything was very scary.
He's been leaning into that lately, right? Like Westworld opened it up for him. Like he was just like, look, I'm going to be this guy. I'm going to just be.
Has he ever played a good guy?
Yeah, he's been warm and good sometimes.
Okay. But he's great as a bad guy.
My friend did a play with him like a while back and I met him and it was one of those moments where like, you know, we all performers and I try not to associate people what I know them as, but his energy was warm, but also menacing. And I was like, I don't like, I remember I didn't reach my hand out for a second. Cause I was like, oh, this doesn't feel safe. Like I was like, this man feel, and he's smiling. I was like, his smile. I was like, oh bro, he about to fuck me up out here on 42nd Street by 11th. No one's by 11th. You know what I mean? But also, like, I don't know. I think this movie was cool because the scene that you had with when they did, like, the double date, I guess. The double date scene was so crazy to me because I knew James Franco was going to do... Sorry. Dave Franco was going to do something at a certain point. But even at this point, she has even more bruises on her face. Mm-hmm. And I just... I guess I'm having a hard time truly understanding how the dad can employ this son-in-law.
Well,
who is like physically, this is my thing. If the dad was abusive, I get that. But like, you gonna let somebody else, like, I don't know. I just felt like they're.
I hear what you're saying in terms of like an ego thing.
Yeah.
But like, I think like he was kind of, I mean, he was like going to check him a little bit, but also he worked for Dave's character worked for him.
Bro, you ain't gonna break his knees and nothing? Like, take a kneecap out? Like, his daughter is walking around.
He clearly does not care about women.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, he did not care.
We know for a fact that he tried to kill his daughter, and we're pretty sure he killed his own wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, he's a cold-blooded killer. That dude was, like, psychotic.
I was kind of happy we got to see James Franco get beat up, though.
Dave Franco, man. Sorry, you're so disrespectful, bro.
Sorry, damn it.
Franco.
This scene. I loved it. I loved this scene. It was so quick.
Gruesome.
It was so gruesome. Mm. When he, before we actually see his face, when she throws the body down and we just see the little flap. I can't believe they're doing this. And then when we get the scare reveal later, oh, it was great. It was great.
I love that angle they did. The lens they used to make her look huge in the room. That was very surprising, and I was like, okay. She's scary. Yeah. She's very scary.
Also was something about it where I was like, oh, and I didn't look up the movie or anything, but this scene, I was like, oh, I could tell this was a female director, because I think sometimes, like, even if a man is directing something with a horrible man in it, I feel like sometimes they shy away from showing true justice in a way that's like truly rewarding, where, yeah, you may have like, you know, like if you watch enough, like you may have the woman come back, get a couple punches in, and like now he's knocked down and wounded. But this movie was like, nah, fuck that. Not only is he about to get messed up, we're going to watch him crawl and beg. Like the shot of the camera on the ground as he's trying to crawl away, I was like, bruh. And also it's so well deserved at that point. Like when you see the photo, or not the photo, but when we see the sister in the hospital, and then to hear the audio of Kristen Stewart be like, yo, we know he did this. Like, how is he giving a statement?
Yeah.
And they showed you the knuckles. How can he give a statement with his knuckles looking like that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like how?
He ekes out one little, I'm sorry, before his full face goes into the thing. I was here for it.
Also, that's one of those things where like, bro, you ain't sorry. You sorry you getting your ass whipped. Exactly. Like, that's what the sorry is.
He was reaching for anything to get her to stop. Anything.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that scene was so moving. Also, I thought it was handled very well because, you know, when Kristen Stewart finally shows up, she's in the bathroom, like almost in shock or like coming down from whatever high she was in. And I thought that was pretty cool to show that like she just isn't truly a monster yet. Like she could be, but like not yet. This was a very reactionary, how could you do this to another human thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was also like, oh my God,
I killed her.
You're going to get caught. Like, oh no, what did you do? But then she like very quickly kind of makes the decision to try to, well, wait. Oh, that's right. Cause Jackie's still there at the place. And then she very kind of quickly is like, did anybody see you? And she's like, no. And then she's like, okay. You know what? I'm going to try to cover this up for you because she probably has done this before.
Not only probably, she's definitely done this. She's definitely done this so many times. Like if you're going to lose control and murder somebody, you did it around the right person because she knew all the stuff you needed to do to clean this up. And the tension of these next couple scenes, because Jackie clearly does not know how to react to this and is clearly doing all of the wrong things. I was like very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Once that was crazy. They got stopped and she was like, isn't that crazy. Your car?
Daisy.
Crazy. I was just like, oh, well y'all caught.
Whew.
And yet she still wanted to do this thing where she was trying to set up her dad, which was interesting, an interesting tactic and ploy. Kind of backfires on her, but then I don't know. I mean, everything else from here, right, like kind of move pretty quickly because we get, you know, she doesn't want to stay put, she leaves, she goes to Vegas, and she clearly she's roiding out.
So that's what's happening. I was like, so the Roys are officially taking over because she took a bunch of it before she like breaks through the back window and leaves the house.
That's what it seemed like,
Yeah, because she like realizes she's locked in, which I didn't even know you could do that, lock a person in a house. And then, she breaks the window and goes to Vegas and just has an episode.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also like partly like, I guess, PTSD because she just killed somebody and she's like seeing that. And then, but also, I don't know, she throws up.
This whole sequence was also fun too. Like throwing up Kristen onto, like that was crazy. And and so seeing her for a moment before she goes out was also pretty, like all of this, and then the audience becoming the canyon, all of that was great.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the throwing up of Kristen was the first clue that that was the first time that I was like, ooh, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I didn't see it coming, but it felt like it made sense and it was earned. Like sometimes when movies just do crazy stuff, you're just like, oh, okay. You just decided to be weird. But that actually kind of felt like it fit within the tone. This film also had an interesting tone that was achieved from the very beginning, from that opening sequence with the shots of the gym. Like it, just the feel and the vibe of the movie really worked, even though it was really tricky. And I was going to say something. You said something about how like things moved really quickly once like the first killing happened. I think one of the things I thought that worked for this film was that things were moved pretty quickly. Like even in the first act, like I didn't feel like it really dragged. And sometimes movies like this shouldn't drag on. You're just like, hurry up and kill somebody so we can get into this. And they did. Yeah. It moved for sure.
That's true. Like they probably Dave Franco. Dave Franco, I think, was like murdered within like the first 20 something minutes. And I was like, oh shit. Like he had three scenes, maybe four. And it was like, oh, it's a wrap. And I was like, oh, okay. We ain't got to wait for this. What happens now? Like I had no clue what this movie was going to do after he died. Yeah. And then it's so interesting because after she has this freak out at the,
and then punches another contestant in the face because she's like having
some
manic episode and thinks that they're like laughing at her or whatever.
And you hear the crunches. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, she probably almost killed her. She probably would have killed her.
Oh, I guess
I don't think she did. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been able to get out. But yeah. But I think she could have killed her if the people didn't pull her off her.
Yeah.
She was the most interesting character in this movie, in my opinion. Like, I do wish, if I were to offer Levy a critique, I wish we actually started from her perspective. Because I think she's the most interesting character. Like, a woman building their body to this point, right, who's willing to do whatever she needs to do to survive. Like, I almost wish we entered the film from her POV. I think there's something that was kind of missing because we didn't. So we didn't get that backstory, but I appreciated that they didn't make this movie 2.5 million hours long, which every movie tries to do today.
Yes, thank God. But yeah, it is curious why they didn't start from her perspective, because I agree, she is a more interesting character. I know like maybe at points she can feel like she's out of control, but like, I don't know, I felt like she's like the driving force of everything. So, it's fascinating. The race doesn't really come up. And Katie O'Brien is pretty light skinned, and her mix is like, I just looked it up on like Wikipedia. It says like she's biracial, and their like source is like her tweeting about saying that to somebody. but she is clearly like, you know, ethnic, right? Or like that's how they like to say it, right? But it isn't really talked much about. But I feel like it does add this, like, it adds the another layer to her feeling like an outsider and feeling like she doesn't have anyone. So you can understand once again, like her quick connection to Kristen Stewart's character.
It's funny because today, without knowing that I was doing this podcast interview, my friend sent me her Instagram. It was like, oh, because we're working on a project about a woman who's biracial but passes. Mm. She was like, oh, she'd be great for it. And I was like, how? Because I had no idea. I was like, what are you talking about? I did not pick up that she was ethnic in any way. She just looked like a spicy white to me. I did not think she was biracial. I just thought she was a spicy white. She might have been like Italian or something, Greek. Yeah.
Yep.
She could definitely be Italian. Yeah. And she might actually be Italian too, in part.
Mm-hmm. Right, let me look right now. But is she mixed with black and white?
Mm-hmm. Black and white.
That's what it says.
Wow. Okay. I agree. I definitely thought she was a spicy white.
I don't know like who her parents are. So I don't know like how, you know, whoever is black can maybe not be 100% either. You
it's
know what
Jonathan
I mean?
Like, Braylock. It's a Jonathan Braylock a very white woman. That's what would happen. Yeah.
It's a Jonathan Braylock and a very white woman.
That's what it gives. That's what I was like, oh, her black parent must be not 100%.
Rashida Jones is like at times like you know, like I feel like
Rashida be jumping. Rashida would use that. Like, look at you. I respect this, Rashida.
I respect this.
No, because sometimes I'd be seeing Rashida, like, there was one show, I was like, oh, Rashida was black. I was like, wait. I was like, you saying the N-word in this show, Rashida? What you do? What you about to, girl? What you about? No, you not. And that became one of the bits. So I was like, you about to do that? Like, I know you can, but are you going to do it? Are you all right, my love. Yeah, that's crazy. Also, I'm looking at Katie's wiki page. Her history
is fascinating.
Like, my God. Also, like, the show she's been on every superhero S, like, was it? She's been on Z Nation. She's been on Black Lightning, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Mandalorian, then take the leap to, like, Ant-Man. And now she's rumored to be the bad guy of Mission Impossible. God damn.
Nice.
Now, that makes sense, given her yep. build. Like, yep. she, you know what I love about it? Based on reading it, she was a cop for 7 years. That's crazy.
It's crazy. Wow. And a bodybuilder.
Yeah. So she must have, like, literally her glow up has been in the past 5 or 6 years. So, because she's 35, she was a cop 7 years out of college. I'm like, so.
So she kind of just popped.
She just started working. And I think she just leans into it. I was like, that's the way to do it. Maybe I need to go to the gym, take some steroids. And that could be my little niche.
I'm just wondering if that's not the lesson to take from this. just wondering, perhaps.
You know what it is? It is.
That's not it.
It is such a niche because I'm like, she's Muay Thai. She's a stunt trained. So I'm pretty sure she's doing a lot of her own
stunts.
And I'm like, yeah. I mean, it's so funny because I'm like, there's no one who really looks like this who's that young. So I'm like, this all makes sense.
And she's jacked.
Jacked. But you know what I took away from it? This is a complete tangent. But I was like, oh, wow. She broke it at like 30 in a completely different career. She leaned in. She didn't run away from her body type. I'm like, we should all learn that lesson.
Yeah.
Be who you are. Lean into it.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't start working. Her biggest thing was in 2018, like Walking Dead. So I'm like, you know, it's fairly recent. A lot of TV, and some of these parts are like, the cop in this, or like even the Mandalorian one was like, you know, two episodes of her being a soldier who comes back. So I'm like, hey man, find that niche. I'm about to go ahead and take a stunt class, you know, but I'm old. So hopefully my bones don't start hurting and be like, can't do these tumbles. Well,
hopefully you can work through the bone hurt is what it is. They're going to hurt.
Actually, you're right,
James. Bone's going to hurt.
You're right, James. I need whatever LeBron be doing. I need one of those ice pocket bag things. I can just sit on my couch.
LeBron is literally from another place. I was watching some of the clips from the basketball tournament, and I was like, this man is 40. He's almost 40 years old.
Yo,
he is
out there like a spry chicken.
He's still moving, and I can't get out of bed.
But it's funny. I was reading. Now this is a tangent, but I don't care. It was like I was watching this video on him on his health and fitness. He spends millions of dollars between they describe some type of like chamber thing, not a cryogenic chamber, but something like that.
Yeah, sure.
That helps your bones and muscles not age at a certain. I was like, bro, the fact that this stuff exists, and also on top of that, apparently he don't pay for it. It's like apparently Nike and the Lakers pay for it, which I'm like,
that is their
makes
yes,
sense.
They need that man.
That's in his contract. Like,
if they can extend the brand, it helps it benefits them as well. So why wouldn't they?
I'm gonna put that in my rider for the next thing I do. I need a chamber for my bones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
help
apparently,
me DH.
Yes, I mean, whatever Tom Brady and LeBron James are doing, they've got some access to some secrets because Tom Brady was my dad's age, okay? And he was out here playing football. It made no sense.
Doing well. Doing well.
Yeah, winning playoff games. I mean, okay. it's wild. So and then she comes back. Ed Harris is the one who bails her out of jail. He basically is like, I can help you. And then we see, you know, Kristen Stewart, she's trying to get, you know, what was her name? What was the other girl's name? Rose?
No, Daisy. Yeah.
She's trying to get Daisy. She's like, oh, you know, hey, about that thing that you saw, maybe you didn't see it kind of thing. We're about to sleep with her, basically. And this was truly the most wild thing of like, we see she throws up in front of her home. And then,
yeah, that was great.
All of a sudden, it just feels like, it feels like Kristen Stewart gets hit with a tomato.
Yes,
like
bro.
You're like, oh, did somebody somebody throw a tomato at her?
Crazy.
That was such a good shot. I love that.
Oh, it was her freaking brains being blown out.
I did not see that coming. No. It was spectacular, though. I was like, that was so good. Because yeah. I was like, what?
And also this moment of her like turning around, kind of at first frozen in horror, then being like, no, 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 no. And then being like, it's not what it looks like. Because she's like, oh, she's going to kill me because she thinks I'm cheating on her.
Yes.
Yes. She pulled a Shaggy. She was like, it wasn't me. She started making excuses.
No. It's not like that. And then was like, wait. And then realized, wait, you killed her because she was a witness, you know? And then she's like, wait, what's going on?
Yo, it was insane.
It was
insane.
Oh, man.
I will say, I do enjoy watching films in the thriller / action space from female directors. Yeah. Because I think they make interesting choices in terms of how they reveal things, how, like, certain angles. Like, it has a different vibe. Like, this film from the very beginning had a very different vibe and execution than this typical for this genre. Yeah. So even that moment, there was something about it that I thought was, like, really interesting in how it was executed. It felt different. It was more on the reaction, right? It's less about the action and more on the reaction and, like, the connection with the characters, which I think is an interesting choice.
Yeah. And also, like, using the kind of almost misdirect, the vomit as almost a misdirect, like that was so cool. Like,
it was a misdirect.
Like, it's like,
yo, it was crazy.
The vomit happens and then incredible. Anyway, it was so good.
You should give up.
It was so good.
No one has ever said the words vomit and then incredible.
It was so good, though. It was so
fascinating. All of it was so fascinating to me. I'm like, also, that's, I'm very curious on what the, I think this is the stuff where I'm like, oh, because it's A24, am I thinking too much into it? But the vomit, like, it, that is such a very distinct thing to have happen. Like, the vomit, but then also show the muscles, like, hulking out. And, like, you knew we were building to something. And in my mind, I was like, oh, she's sort of physically turned into, like, the Incredible Hulk or some type of monster. But then she didn't. She technically turned into a giant, like, you know, basically what's the
right
9-10 foot woman kind of thing. And I'm like, I
now you guys don't actually think she turned into
she turned into a giant.
Right?
Wait.
Yeah, no, she turned into a giant.
She did. I think she turned into a giant.
Okay. No, she turned into a giant. Do you actually think that she threw up Kristen Stewart?
No, but she turned into a giant at the end. That really happened.
I think it's metaphorical, all of it, right?
Yeah, okay, thank you.
She's a real
giant.
I don't know. She might be a giant.
Did you think?
And then at the end, Kristen Stewart was also a giant and they were walking through space. Yeah. No, that really happened. Okay. I will say I wanted the giant thing to be real, and I took it as this really happened until the Kristen Stewart thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think they put it almost felt like they put that in the end of the movie
so that
to
I
make sure
hold,
that people like you
I wasn't
did
allowed
not
to hold
think.
On to that being real. I truly
like, just in case you didn't get it.
I truly wanted it to be that, like, actually she hulks out at the end.
She actually turned into
I would have appreciated
that. That makes sense.
I would have appreciated
it. Yeah. You know, a wild ending here where Ed Harris captures Jackie and Kristen Stewart's and then calls his daughter and she's like, hey, I'm going to charge her for the double murder. She'll go to jail. And she's like, don't you touch her. If you don't let her go, I'm going to tell the feds everything. Are you threatening me? Yes, I am. Why'd you do that? He sends a cop to kill her, which is
quickly. Like, that was crazy. You shouldn't have done that, daughter.
Truly crazy.
I'm like, bro.
Yeah. I mean, what a psycho you have to be. Yeah. But then she winds up killing that guy, goes to save Jackie. Jackie immediately headbutts her. It's just like, this woman is out of her mind.
But I would have too, because at that point, like, we don't know what she's like. I would have headbutted her too, because she, you out here sleeping with Daisy.
What?
You sleeping with Daisy. Mm-hmm. I don't want, you know, thank you for saving me, but like, get out of my face.
Well, she did leave.
Get out of my face.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? I was on board with that. Sure. I was on board with headbutting.
But yeah, then she turns into a giant and pins down the dad, but they don't kill him. I don't know what the significance fully of that, outside of maybe they thought it would be worse if he got caught and put in jail. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, right? Like,
oh, I think he had to. I think it's worse. Oh, yeah. I think it's worse.
Yeah.
Be punished for all the things that you've done. That's what I think they were going for.
I mean, this, they're not getting out of this.
Well, so that's my thing. It's like if they kill him, it's almost like even more like, oh, you're definitely, you know.
Because they can blame everything on him.
There's a way
right
to try
now,
to
right?
pin like, the other stuff onto him, I think, right?
Yeah,
or
I feel
least,
like everything can be blamed.
Like
him.
you can have the the self defense narrative, which it all is, except for the, or I guess you could foster the self defense narrative for any of the other things.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know.
I mean, Daisy was a straight. That was a point blank. That was also a point blank murder, though. I don't know how you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you.
I mean, look, I mean, yeah, that was crazy, but I mean, the movie ended in a, I don't know how I expected the movie to end.
I wanted it to end in a way where Kristen Stewart's character realized that this other girl was crazy.
Yeah, right?
And just left her alone. I was like, what?
I think that's the hard part.
Yeah, it was very, I wanted her to have a moment of realization, like, maybe we should just not.
No, she went.
But we had
in.
The moment where Kristen grabs Beth's face and is like her, and it is intentionally like leaning into the thing, and she, we got the you're a monster right. back to back, and I was like, oh, maybe they're made.
But
for
that's
each
also
other.
After Beth. Also, Beth was like, you don't understand love.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
I feel like when Beth said, you don't understand love, Kristen Stewart's like, oh, okay. Oh,
I don't understand.
She's like, well, I do actually.
Bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bet.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was devastating.
But also, isn't it crazy? Because, like, I understand that they're in love. But then, technically, how we see this love build is that it's around sex and giving her steroids. So for Kristen Stewart to be so enamored, I'm just like, it wasn't like she defended her against her dad or something. I was just like, I agree. I'm like, you should just wake up and be like, this chick crazy. Let me flee. Something. And it just never came.
Now, a great prophet once said, is somebody going to match my freak? Okay. And at the end of this film, we got a
don't
couple people matching each other's freak. That's what's happening at the end of the book.
I love that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and mm-hmm. they,
I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how Daisy wasn't dead. That's crazy.
Bruh. And she had to choke her. What the? How?
That was even crazier. And I was like,
she,
okay.
She was just dead in the back seat the whole time, just in the tarp. Like, bro.
Then she's just smoking a cigarette while Jackie sleeps in a car. I mean, what did you guys think? Like, they get caught eventually, right?
I mean, they got it. I mean, honestly, in one of these movies, probably not. Honestly, probably not. They probably like make it out of this because
I believe in
them. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it probably is more fun for them to get. I think they should get away. I believe in them. I think they should get away with it. But yeah, this movie ended on a very interesting note.
All right. Well, that's, you know, that's what we got. Okay. And I'm going to have to ask, this question because I need to know about myself. And therefore I have to ask it to all of you.
Oh, no, I don't want to know. I don't want to know this.
Did you find Katie O'Brien attractive in this movie?
I thought she was so hot. Okay. I thought she was so hot.
Okay.
I was into everything.
Okay, this is my thing. As a person who, and if anyone's listening who's trying to get flued out, okay, by a WNBA player or a WWE wrestler, my brand should be this, but I'm not gonna lie to you. At one point, there was a shot, and her muscles were so defined. I was like, "Yo," as a person who loves danger, I was like, "This might be a level of danger I physically cannot handle." Like, at one point, she did.
No, do I think I can now? No,
hold on, Jay. I got to. It was something simple. Not her killing people.
Yeah.
Not her flexing. It was a simple shot, like maybe even a B-roll shot of her walking to one of the tables holding a tray. But like she had on like the crop top and the short shorts, and the way her back muscle flexed when she just put the arm down, I was like, yo, she could crack a walnut. Like she could crack a walnut on her muscle. And yeah. I'm brittle. Like I just told y'all, my bones don't bone the way they should.
You working out?
Bray, that's covered. That's covered. Yeah, this is for show.
That's everything around it.
This is show, Bray. This is show.
We talk about the marrow. We talk
steps. About I'm out for a week, bro. Like, what you like? Just, my body don't do the same shit no more.
I've learned so much about you.
I'm sorry.
I know too much.
It's a lot of contradictions where there needs to be danger, but then also I'm very scared of danger. So I don't know what it is. I'm just here living, okay. Y'all. We're just living. Well, Bray, were you in love?
I don't think I can keep up, but I found her attractive. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no, I found her very attractive. I mean, like, I do think towards the end, like the more and more, like they were kind of really highlighting the roid stuff. My attraction definitely waned. I definitely was like, okay, this is too much. Like she's
my takeaway from this conversation. Is that men are disgusting. You guys literally have no standards at all. Was she breathing? She's literally like roided up.
Wait. I didn't find Daisy attractive. Does that help? Does that help?
What's so funny, and I was before you said that, I'm embarrassed to say this. Low key, she did become really attractive to me at the end when she was like 10 feet tall. And I was like, you know what? I'm okay with this. Like, okay, I'm okay with this.
When she was 10 feet tall was when she was attractive.
He said he wants to have somebody from the WNBA fly out.
I know.
That, it makes sense. Angel Reese is 6'3". It makes sense.
Listen, let me tell you what it is. Growing up, the most successful men, like Tom Cruise was little as hell, okay? And when he was with Nicole Kidman, you saw photos, and he wasn't even close to being her height. And I was like, oh, that's when success is when you have an Amazon. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you...
That was a very 90s thing, I felt like. Yeah. Short men being tall.
That is true. Yeah.
We coming back. You see,
how tall are you, by the way?
See, I'm average. I'm 5'9", but if you're on a dating site, that's small. Like, that's compact on a dating app. You know what I mean? But see, the short kings are coming back.
5'9 is average for the world.
All right. So what's that about? What was that?
That's Jonathan. Jonathan, are you 6 feet tall?
I'm 6'2".
Oh.
That's a 6'2" energy
comic. Like, what was like? Oh, for the world. All
it's
right.
Average for babies. Yeah. That was such an unnecessary comment.
It was. Listen, we had a whole new generation coming out here. We got Jeremy Allen White. We got Timothy Chalamet. We got Tom Holland. And once we get a black dude, they let be short. We ready. They just don't let the black man be short yet. We coming.
Once they let them
black. Yeah, man.
What do you mean? Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart, baby.
I mean, Kevin Hart not considered a sex symbol, though. Like, he's a really funny guy who's in shape, but he's not like a... I love Kevin Hart, but he's not a sex symbol.
How short he really was.
I guess Timothy Chalamet is a sex man.
He is actually
very short. Yeah, isn't he 5'3"? He's 5'3".
Yeah, like on a good day. Something like that. 5'3", 5'2".
The 5'2" took it over the edge for me. I was like, 5'3"? Okay. 5'2". Wow.
Any closing thoughts that anybody else has for Love Lies Bleeding?
No.
Great. We said all there needs to be said. We said all there needs to be said. It's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we liked it, but whether or not it helps the, whether or not we feel like it helps the cause of leading Black actors in Hollywood. If we feel like a film fully helps that cause, we give it a black fist. If it's someone helps that cause, we give it a white palm. Feel like it doesn't really help that cause at all, we don't give it anything. Okay, so on the count of three, we'll raise up our ratings for Love Lies Bleeding. Does it help the cause? Here we go. One, two, three. Okay, white palm. Okay.
I almost gave it a white palm.
So yeah, there are three hesitant fists and one white
palm. Yeah.
Yeah. That feels about, yeah.
I gotta say, I'll just say real quick that I just wasn't prepared to have the colorism conversation right now. And so I am just embracing, I'm embracing that Katie is mixed. And then I'm also leaning into the featuring a same-sex relationship and being directed by, written and directed by a woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe so. She's
and so director. all of that helps the cause of more, minority figures in Hollywood, but specifically the colorism thing was why the fist was hesitant, but I can't do it right now.
Okay.
I gave it a fist because I think, yeah, because of Katie, now knowing she's half black. Also, this movie had a lot of buzz. The reviews are really good. I'm pretty sure this movie, along with her other work, helped her book Mission Impossible, which I'm not going to lie to you, I freaking love those movies. And I think she's going to crush it. I mean, it's one of those things where like, yeah, I think it did its job. I think it had enough buzz. I think it did its job. So that's why I gave it that. I almost gave it a palm, but I felt pressure.
Yeah, I gave it my light skin palm because I do not doubt how Katie identifies. You know, she is who she is. It is what her 23andMe says. But in terms of the cause, helping the cause, I don't think it can help the cause when people are like, she black? I think you have to kind of appear black for it to help the cause in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
That's just the realities.
That's very optics, fair.
Yeah, optics matter fair. In this particular situation.
Extremely fair thing to say.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely said this about Vin Diesel, so...
Yes.
So in reality, I probably should have given it a palm. I gave it a fist. I think maybe because, you know, sometimes I'm like, well, she got the curly hair, you know? So, but doesn't necessarily mean anything. But anyway.
The curly hair.
You know, but that was, it was the 80s. So like a lot of people, white people also have curly hair, you know?
What, Bright?
I mean, white people do have curly hair.
That's true.
Jewish women have curly hair. They're like,
that's true.
Irish woman got that curly hair.
We thought she was a spicy white.
I definitely thought she was a spicy
white. I didn't know until I looked it up.
I didn't even see the thing in our chat that y'all had her ethnicity. I thought we were watching a movie with two white people in it. And I was like, why are we watching this movie? The whole movie. The whole movie, that was the thought I had.
Well, here's the thing. I was like, is Katie O'Brien mixed? Because she does look like... She looks like she's either mixed or Italian. Like to me, that's what she looks like. She's like, she's mixed or she's like Italian, you know?
I will say her Instagram, her herself in the world. Yes. The character, not so much. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like the way that the character was dressed and the hair, I didn't see it. But if you go to her Instagram, you're like, oh, okay. I can see our ancestors in there.
Also, because the character feels like a person who would tan, because I feel like those bodybuilders also tan.
And they have to technically to get the little, and sometimes they spray
that bronze,
so you can see the muscle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it definitely felt like that for the character. Anyway, we got, you know, three black fists and a palm. But thank you so much, Roche. Thank you so much.
Yes,
for coming
you,
on.
Thank you.
But would you like people to follow you on social media?
Depends on their energy, you know what I mean? but you can. I'm a Roche Jeffrey, RocheeJeffrey on Instagram.
Amazing. And then is there anything you'd like to plug? You don't need to.
Hire me.
Speaking. Yeah.
Amen. That's so real.
You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, or X and Instagram. Blackmenpodcast.com is our website. You got links there to our Patreon and Red Circle. That's our exclusive feed. It's $5 a month. It helps keep this podcast free. Thank you guys so much. We had a bunch of new subscribers recently. We reviewed the new Tyler Perry movie, Divorce in the Black.
Yeah, we did.
You can only hear our real thoughts about this stuff behind a paywall. But that was fun, and we review something every other week.
Said it was fun. That episode was fun to you, Bray?
I had fun.
I thought we had a good. I actually thought we had a good convo about it. I had fun. It was interesting. Anyway,
I'm sweating. And, still,
hey, if you guys like improv, I'm on a Herald team called This Is She. Performs at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, so you could just Google that. This Is She. That's the name of the team. I can't tell you. Our times change every week, but it's usually Mondays.
That's crazy.
Mondays, it's either at 7 or at 8:30.
Okay. Okay.
You guys got anything you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah, James, you want to go?
You can follow me at Rule of Three Inc. 3 is the number 3, ruleofthreeinc.com. My comic Junior and my anthology Three Stories, they're on Kickstarter right now. You can go to the link in my bio anywhere on social. You can get a $5 digital copy or an $8 digital copy. Also, Fairly Odd Parents is back today at the time that we're recording this. I don't know when you're going to actually listen. But Mondays through Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. So watch it.
Sweet. You can follow me at Draw Milligan on Twitter and Instagram. And if you're in L.A., August 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, I'm in a play at the Young Playwrights Festival. I don't know the times, but I think we're the only plays on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. So come through, show love. A wonderful 18-year-old wrote it, and she's now going to Stanford for playwriting. So
wow.
Very cool. Come support us.
Stanford. Oh, I forgot I do have something to promote.
Go ahead.
Hell yeah, go ahead.
I'm doing a stand-up and solo show, my first one ever, at the Broadway Theater on August 8th at 7 p.m. I think we might almost be sold out, but we might have some tickets. Come through and watch laugh. Something like that.
Hell yeah.
That's fire.
All right. Thank you guys so much. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Peace.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people. Oh, oh.